Good to see everybody. Okay, I think we'll just kind of fire away here and just get going, all right?
You kind of get your hands on the guys for the first time. Just what do you hope to get out of this 3A's?
Yeah, good question. I think this is definitely a interesting kind of, you know, segment in the off-season program because we're really just coming out of phase one. We really have had maybe, you know, 2 weeks worth of work with our strength and conditioning staff. We really haven't had a chance to been on the field with them at all or anything from those standpoint. So it's kind of an in-between going into phase two, but yet some of our requirements are a little bit looser, so we're allowed to do some more things. I think you got to be careful as far as how fast you go from a standpoint of these guys are just getting into the routine of the off-season. And, you know, we want to make sure that we're progressing in a manner that is building over a course of time to get ready, obviously, for OTAs, mini camp, and then training camp.
Yeah, Coach, regarding the draft, how much more involved are you in all phases of offense and defense? And is that kind of interesting to open up that entire for you as opposed to being a defensive coach looking at inside the ball?
Sure. You know what? It's actually great. But I wouldn't say all that different in some aspects of things that I've done in the past. Draft processes, especially as a defensive coordinator. You know, one of the things we always did and I always tried to do was look at the quarterbacks that were coming out that year anyways, because a lot of situations where those higher draft pick quarterbacks might be in a situation where I was going to play against them very early in the season or whatever the case may be. So you wanted to do your study and your homework ahead of time, and you just took the opportunity to meet those guys, or if they ever came in the building, sit down and spend 15 or 20 minutes with them and talk to them from that standpoint. So very familiar with that process. Early in my career as a being on the offensive side of the ball, you know, evaluating and taking a look at offensive linemen, tight ends, skilled players. So it's just kind of, you know, dealing with all of it and categorizing all of it and putting it all together is kind of, I'd say, being the different biggest difference from the standpoint of volume, but procedure and you know, the way that things have been done is very familiar to me.
What do you want to get out of the draft, whether it's, you know, position wise or just like characteristics in a player that you think will help build your program the way you want?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think in general for us out of the draft, we're trying to find guys that we think can help us, you know, build the program. And obviously, if it's earlier in the draft, you probably are hoping those guys can contribute a lot quicker. But it kind of, there's a process involved with that when they get into the building that you go through to evaluate them and see how they go and they fit. And depending on what's available on the board at the time of the draft and who you're going to take, you know, the plans for that player might be different. Might be different by position, might be different by player. So obviously looking for guys that we think are, you know, tough and competitive and, you know, really have a similar background and philosophy to the style of football that we want to play and take a look at from a fundamental standpoint. And that's really what you're trying to look at on film from college because, you know, schematically there's a lot of differences in college football than, you know, in the NFL, and you're trying to make that transfer. So if you can take it and boil it down to really the fundamental basic part of it and say, hey, can we build on what we're seeing on this on tape and grow that player and develop that player, then you feel better about that particular guy.
Can you summarize the message that you had for your players when you kind of had them all together or mostly all together? You know, key phrases or things that you kind of want to drill home early on?
I think, you know, for me, again, it's just this is a great opportunity for the guys to get to know who I am, you know, and what I'm about as a coach and as a person and why this game is important to me and what we're trying to, you know, do from a standpoint of this organization. It's a good opportunity for me to get to know them. So I would say the specifics of, you know, things that we talked about is just some basic fundamental stuff, you know, football-wise, but really more just philosophical about organization and structure and just so what they expect. You know, I think the biggest thing for me is just, hey, look, hey, this is what phase one looks like. This is what our voluntary veteran minicamp looks like. This is what phase two looks like. This is what phase three, just so they kind of know, you know, what the schedule is, what the structure of we're doing, because it's just so new for everybody, and that's really the biggest thing day one to make sure you get across.
When you did your college tour, you did a lot of drills yourself. I saw a lot of videos. You actually worked guys out yourself.
Yep.
Were there specific things you were looking for personally, and why do you want to do the drills
yeah,
yourself?
Did you like the drills? Were they good, or were you? What was your favorite? Which one?
You knocked over your defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that was not good. That was bad coaching on my part. You know, for me, I mean, I love to coach, right? So as you stand there and you watch other people run drills and you're looking at guys and trying to evaluate them, you know, you're in your head, you're going, wow, what if we got to look at this? Or maybe they could hit a bag or, you know, we got a couple pop-ups over here. We could do a couple drills to see how they read and react. And, you know, it's hard to sit back sometime in those, especially those structured pro day types, you know, where everything's scheduled and there's a time commitment to each individual group and you don't want to go off track. But once in a while, you can't really help yourself and you want to just get in there and coach a little bit. So maybe grab a couple guys, grab some bags and – just let them do a couple other drills. That's all.
And on the flip side to Larry's point about getting the guys get to know you, what have you learned about the guys so far? I know just lifting and working out.
Great question. And you know what's been awesome is just their focus, their attention right now is at an all-time high, which is great for me. So the messages can be clear. But I think they are just very eager to learn. I would say that's the biggest thing right now is how receptive these guys, they want to know. And I really kind of feel bad because with some of the restrictions that we've had to be under here for the last several weeks, we haven't been able to do a lot from that standpoint. So I just have to kind of preach patience here really the best I can. In due time, I'm sure they'll be tired of me standing up in front of them in no time at all. But it's that whole just trying to work into the process. That's why the schedule is so important for them to understand, hey, this is what takes place during this period. This is what we can do during this period. As we move forward, you can see how it will build up and progress to the point where you're going to get all the information you're looking for right now. We just can't do it all at once.
But how many guys are not taking part in minicamp, whether for injury reasons or just not being
here? Yeah, I don't have exact numbers with the injuries and all the rest of it, but we have great attendance right now and really good attention. The guys that can do stuff will be out there, and obviously there's a protocol for guys that are hurt, you know, that are trying to work through all that stuff. So, but, you know, it's like you said, it's voluntary, so we're just really focused on the guys that are out there working really hard.
Are some of the guys that are injured not taking part?
Not off the top of my head right now. I mean, there's, you know, the guys that probably had, you know, surgery at the end of the years and things like that will be, you know, on a step coming back. The good thing is like some of these guys, you know, there's certain facets they can do. You know, we're on the field and we really have there's not the hardcore time restriction that you get into in some of the different phases. So if we do some walkthrough type things or some learning, like kind of, you know, meetings on the field, like those guys can do that stuff, which is great.
Your focus is a lot on the day-to-day work that you're doing, but how excited are you just as a first-time head coach to go through the draft process and see your team kind of build and grow at this point?
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, it's really, again, it's probably the emotion that I have to keep under control the most, you know, from that standpoint, just so you can really kind of grind through every day and have a good idea of what you're accomplishing and focus that task at hand. But I am very blessed, you know, to be in the situation where every day I get to wake up and come to work and, you know, try to grind it out and do the best we can to build a great team. So thrilled beyond belief, you know, but really trying to just keep all that in check because we want to make sure that we're just doing the best we can every day.
I know Bob said he had to kind of hone in on a few prospects and really kind of show you, like, the list that he liked as you came in a little bit later in the process. Will there be guys that you maybe fell in love with a little bit that you'll nudge him and say, listen, this guy's got to fit if he's on the board there?
I definitely think, you know, it was great from that standpoint to be able to come in and just, you know, not have to grind through all of them blindly. You know, there's obviously a huge head start from that standpoint. And for us to take a look at those guys that are targeted that we're talking about right now and say, hey, what do you think about this? And to be in agreement and getting on the same page fairly quickly with all that, I'm sure there'll be some of those and there'll be some of the opposites too where, you know, we disagree. But that's great. You know, that's the part of it is that we just have that understanding back and forth. And, you know, there's certainly guys – the good part about all that, there was guys that came from those conversations or from those lists that he had initially right away that it was just easier. It was like, yep, I see what you're saying there, or this is, yep, I agree with that, or let's take another look at this. And then we just kind of grind through a little bit deeper from that standpoint.
You worked with, you know, linebackers and offensive line, played it obviously heavily during your coaching and playing career, I guess. How does that impact when it comes to the draft? I mean, do you see some of those late round gems that you're like, I can coach that guy up, or when you see that elite talent, do you, you know, I need to have that guy in my...
Yeah, it's a great point, great observation. I have to actually be careful that I don't go too far into that. And remember that you have to keep the whole team in mind because it's easy to, you know, dive into specifically those two positions and say, hey, you know, I've seen that guy before in this, or, you know, when you're singularly focused in a specific position group and say, hey, we can really do something with that. But if you're kind of ignoring the big picture look and you might have a guy that might be a little bit more talented in another position that might be a little bit more of a need, and, you know, you don't want to grab somebody else when you're going to miss an opportunity, which is great about the relationship I have with Bob and then Bob's focus of, you know, helping us build, you know, the best overall team, kind of making sure that we both steer each other in the right direction from that standpoint. But there's certainly guys that from the, you know, offensive line or linebacker or, I mean, defensive line, obviously, you know, overall defense of standpoint or any of those guys that I've evaluated where you go back to those memory banks and say, hey, this reminds me of that guy. I really think we could develop into kind of a similar role or similar situation, which is great. And that's what you want to have. You just don't want to miss out if there's another need that might be more pressing at the time.
When it comes time to make your first pick here, how much is something like personality going to matter? Just finding a player that might help set like the culture that you want this team to kind of take on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always something that you want to consider, you know, and especially early on in the draft, you're really trying to make sure that that's a guy that's probably going to be put out there fairly quickly or in the spotlight pretty quickly, and you want to make sure that those things are in place, but it's certainly not the only thing. You know, you got to evaluate the entire player, the entire person in that package, but I think from that standpoint, like you mentioned, we're definitely always looking for those guys that we think fit that mold.
And Dwight Freeney recently decided to retire. Now you got to spend some time with him. Just curious what you think of the career that he's had.
Yeah, I mean, I love Dwight. He was, obviously we go way back to the Syracuse days and working together there and having some pretty amazing battles all the way through our NFL careers and conversations, and the utmost respect for what an amazing and tremendous player he is, but what an even better and more humble person. I mean, you just talk about just a great guy and someone that always just kind of stayed true to those roots. So, really very proud of all he's accomplished and done in his career. And obviously it all speaks for itself from that standpoint, but just a great, great guy.
In a multiple front defense, does that give you a wider range of defensive line prospects you look in the draft, I guess not eliminating as many guys' skill sets?
With having a lot of variation and different things that you can do, then you can kind of play off those different guys that are valuable at that specific time, you know, and say, hey, look, this is the best guy, we think he can do this in this front, and say, hey, that's a priority, we can grab him. Or the best guy available at that particular time fits this look better. Hey, it's still a good value for us, and we can take him at that point. So that does play into it quite a bit, actually, and that's why it's always so fluid all the time and how the value's changed based on who's available at that particular moment in the draft. You know, you're going to try to say, hey, how does this guy fit, or what is his role going to be within our schemes, offensively or defensively or special teams? All of that will play into effect. So that's certainly part of the conversation. Yep.
Last question, Mike.
Yeah, Coach, we're going to be talking to Kalyn Wilson a little bit later today. I just wonder what you remember about him, the player you had for 4 years, and now with 2 years as a full-time starter, what he's developed into, what do you see the player is today?
Yeah, I had Tavon obviously very young, you know, when he first came to us. Very tough, physical football player, had a great instinct. You know, really could do a good job of finding the ball, fit really well in the run fits, understood playing close to the box, and kind of some of the things that we were asking him to do at that time. I would say over the course of time where he left us and kind of moved on here, I've seen the rest of his game really develop. You know, he's been able to play a little bit more in the deep part of the field, do a couple of different things from a safety standpoint, play a little bit more man-to-man coverage down in the box, tight ends, different sort of skill players, and really coming out of college, you know, he played a lot in what we call the nickel position, or kind of walked out over the number two slot receiver. So he really had a lot of variance coming out of college, close to the box. We moved him a little bit closer towards the line of scrimmage. Here he's been able to move farther away from the line of scrimmage and then be able to line up in those multiple different positions down. So, and I would say his overall knowledge of just football in general at this level has really advanced just in the, you know, brief conversations that I've been able to have with him recently. Okay. Appreciate everybody coming out. Good to see everybody. And we'll talk to you soon. Okay. Thanks.